You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting show here on the Concierge Coaches Show at LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Neil Williams. Neil.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How's your day going?
It's going good. Busy, and got a bird feeder outside, so I'm going to experiment with different attachments. This one's pretty cool. Like they sell these sticky looking waffle things you put in here, and woodpeckers and certain birds.
What do you put on the sticky thing?
No, man, it's like wax and.
So you buy them.
I don't make this. No, you buy them at the pet
bird store.
Yeah.
But you don't put, so it's sticky, but you don't put anything on it. It's the sticky stuff is what attracts them.
Yeah, the sticky stuff and whatever the flavor is. And this, I'll just put some like bread in here or whatever and see what happens. So gearing up for the spring.
Oh, yeah.
So on those rare moments, yeah, I can look outside and see something positive. So,
dude, I have to ask you, I forgot to ask this last week. The lava lamp. What prompted the lava? I mean, that's retro. I used to have one when I was 17.
Oh, me too. When I was even, where, this way? Okay, I go this. Man, that thing is hot, man.
Whoa, that's the other thing. They get really hot.
Yeah, man.
I had a green one.
Yeah, this is green. The bubbles are green. The water is blue. And so I have a salt lamp over there. You know, the salt lamp's kind of cool. It's not really fun to look at. It's like, oh, it's going to bring ionizing elements into the air, and then, I decided to get that. So I'll probably get two, one for each office.
Yeah, just something to relax and watch for the clients.
Yeah, and I found a YouTube channel that's like 6 hours of fish in an aquarium.
Really?
Yeah,
I have used. My girlfriend turned me on to the white noise. I tried that. And then I think there's another app called Calm.
Yeah, Calm. Mm-hmm.
That one's really well known. And then my dad tried to get me to try Headspace, but I couldn't get into it.
I have a little dome-shaped white noise thing. One, that's a good thing for sleep. Number two, my malpractice insurance for the counseling calls for it, that you have to have it outside your door so nobody can hear what they're saying, what you're saying.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't know that they would actually write that in, though, that you actually have to have a sound device.
You need to have some sort of thing to diffuse sound coming from the premises of the counseling session itself. So
yeah,
we follow the rules here. So for most of them. Or just about, you know, all the big ones for sure.
Right.
To keep us out of harm's way and stuff. So, all right.
I'm all about staying out of court.
Man, I dodged some court bullets this week, man. Just, especially, you know, as coaches and stuff, we get involved with these cases where there's a divorce. Where child custody is in the middle of this, you're going to court. You're going to get subpoenaed. You know, you got to be super careful when you take on a case that has, yeah, those elements to it. So,
right.
Word to the wise, man. Anyway, sometimes not, but many times yes. So, all right.
Can I ask you something about that? And this, because this will be helpful for anybody who's listening who is a coach. When you get subpoenaed to court, are you, as a coach, at risk for anything other than upsetting your client? Do you know, and is that a clear question? Does that make sense?
I mean, you know, it's whatever the allegation is. You know, people can allege anything. You'd be surprised. Because of your work, you know, this happened to them or whatever. So that's why, you know, you need to keep good detailed notes on every session that you see people. And so that way you can go back to your notes and you can bring those notes into the courtroom and say, look, here's my session notes. Here's what transpired that day. They didn't talk about any suicidal intentions or whatever it is that, you know, is going on. Or they didn't say that somebody was abusing them in some way. It's the show no harm, basically, is what that's about.
Got it. I'm sure folks are wondering, though, because I know I thought about it, you know, when starting out, like, what do I need to be worried about? Like, am I going to get sued for something? Even though the case may have nothing to do with you, are you going to get yanked down with it? You know, and that's of course, with my history, you know, naturally I'm just concerned about a courtroom. So I've never been in a court proceeding where I was not the defendant. Never.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Like when you guys were on that photo shoot, you just had to remind yourself this wasn't the police station, right? Or processing.
It's a lot more comfortable. It's much more relaxed. People were being friendly. It was funny. Because the other photos, they don't ask you to smile.
Start rolling your fingers on the fingerprint.
The ink, and it won't come off. They give you that little alcohol thing, and it doesn't even take the ink off. You know what I did learn from that experience is I learned about Cornhuskers hand lotion being in the police department, seeing that. And I was like, why is there Cornhuskers in every single one? And my hands crack. It's just, they do. Every year they get chapped and they crack. And Cornhuskers has saved my hands. Man. So all that because I like to go to jail.
The official processing soap well, that's awesome.
I asked the officer, I said, why do I see Cornhuskers in every single police department? He's like, oh, this stuff's the best.
It's the best.
They have to wash their hands over and over and over.
Yeah, for sure. So that's good. So you guys went on the photo shoot, and it's going to be part of the media kit for some things in the future, and at least online. And hopefully we'll get to keep some of the good photos for your own purposes. So.
I think we're supposed to do another one as well.
That's what I hear. Another one in more of an urban setting. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they called it an environmental photo shoot.
Right. Did I say urban? Yeah. Environmental. Well,
I don't know that they picked the setting, so you may be right on.
We went at different times, and so that's what Oh, goodness. So I'll let you lead off. You had some great things that we could possibly share today, so I'll let you lead off with one of them, and fielder's choice here, and let you.
Okay. Yeah, lately I've been thinking a lot about continuing to improve, because we're always, it really doesn't matter what line of work you're in, but certainly if you're doing something that involves leadership or working with others, you're guiding folks, but you have to remember that even though you're helping other people improve, we also have to continue to improve. And avoiding complacency is, I don't want to say it's one of the traps that I fear the most, but it's certainly something I never want to become, complacent, you know? And it's real, for me, it's the reason that I'm so concerned about it is because the level that I began was so far down. You know, I'd starting from nowhere to live, no driver's license, no job, no credibility, no college degree, convicted felon. Like, that's a really, really low point. And so anything past that, anything beyond that, someone's going to come along and pat you on the back and be like, hey, man, you're no longer a complete loser. Good job. You know, someone's going to make you feel good about not being that.
Okay.
But that to me is not, that's not good enough, of course, right?
Yes.
And that's what's always kept me moving. But now, you know, developing my business, becoming successful in that, and needing to now find ways to grow and to continue to get better and expand. So there's all these different things that are next on the list, and complacency will kill everything. Like, it'll kill all of that. So that's what I've been thinking about lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I am, and you will too. If you're not already, but you will for sure in the next 2 years, you're going to be up against this. I am so busy doing the work that I've set up to do that I find myself not growing. Okay. So what does that mean? Well, so I have to then almost, you know, think of yourself like a rose bush. You have to kind of prune the bush, right? So the bush will flower even better, right? Think about these great myrtle trees you see every year, and they cut them son of a guns back. You ever notice that? I mean, they cut a crepe myrtle down to the to the stalk, and you think, how in the hell is that much, you know, going to come back? It always does. Comes back even better, even fuller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every year, those trees get pruned so that they can grow and they can flourish. Well, that's what we need to kind of do. And if we're not doing it naturally, we kind of have to self-prune so we can grow.
Now, how do you do, what's a way that, how do you apply that to your situation? So when you say self-prune, what does that mean? What does that entail for you?
For, what that entails for me is taking time out of my, they're doing construction outside, y'all, so just, sorry. I mean, it's just, can't help it. Much needed construction from the storm damage, whatever. For me, it's managing the schedule and leaving time aside every week to do growth activities. That might mean go to some community meetings. That might mean I might even get back into the Chamber of Commerce. As much as I dread that, I think I'm going to have to do that for multiple reasons, considering our new endeavor. It could be reading. I got some new books that I want to read. It could be vision boarding or vision casting, you know, some stuff that I might want to try, you know.
Yeah.
The project you and I are on right now was a result of me looking at a situation that I was coming into, right, in a pruning moment, and say, you know what, let me move into this. And it got bigger and bigger, and now we are where we are, and it's going to grow into something really special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know. Had I been working 40, 50 hours a week just seeing clients, maybe working out a little bit, seeing clients, go home, sleep, do the mail, rinse, repeat, Ward Cleaver, whatever, middle-aged guy, whatever, I might have missed that opportunity. Yeah. But, right, and not only was that, it was an opportunity that people like, that'll never happen. You'll never get people to pay that much for sober living environment. You're out of your mind. What do you mean you don't take insurance? You know, on and on and on. And the people said the same stuff when I opened up my private practice years ago.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to have a cash pay practice. How are you going to get clients if you're not on insurance panels? What makes you think you can do that? You're a prison guy, kind of funny in the other sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't go to prison, but I was a prison guy. So you're really kind of at the bottom of the food chain. in some respects, at first anyway. Anyway, so that's what it is leaving time aside for growth and development. It could be spiritual. It could be reading. It could be taking a chance on a project. It could be spending time with a new coach, you know, or a new, you know, I'll kind of say this. I mean, I feel Sherrod would be okay, but I knew Sherrod back in the day when he was a student in college and just was just getting started, and he was interested, and I helped him grow his experiences, and here we are today. So, you know, and that was an investment, you know, it was a great investment, you know, and a similar situation with you to some extent. So, so that's what that means for me, taking time aside to do activities that provide some avenue of growth and development for me.
Yeah, and that's exactly, I'm in the middle of that right now. I had an opportunity to take on another family, another client, and work with the family and with another facility that I would really like to work with, and I will in the future. But I had to say no because of the caseload I have now and the things that need to be done in order to continue to grow.
Right.
I know that there are some things I need to do, some courses I'd like to take that will make me better and will help people, will allow me to help people further. Yep. And so I need to find the time to do those. And it's hard enough as it is with what I have now. Right. So as much as I would like to take on another client, because that's what I enjoy doing, and of course that's more income, I just can't do it. So basically I'm choosing not to make more, and I'm choosing to do less and spend. But again, it's that investment, because in the long term, it's more important. And that's not easy to recognize when you're in push, 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 get as much as we can, let's grow. And then you have to stop yourself and say, wait a minute.
Right. It's counterintuitive. Let me try something here.
Oh,
I have a tan. Color. I've colored.
Oh, you're alive again.
Okay, we'll go with the alive look here for a minute. Exactly. And man,
counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive because you think, man, I'm going to work, and the more I work, the more I make money. The more I do this, it has diminishing returns after a certain point, right? So you can do that, and you could work 80 hours a week, but then. And for the span of eternity, what are you really doing to contribute for that? Just like I said, you know, and I have to do it too. So when this environment place, the sober living environment opens, we got to reserve some time for that place for obvious reasons. It's not only for its running and program offerings, but also for the growth that's going to be there for all of us that are involved with it. Seeing things, receiving blessings, and actually doing things on a scale, you could never, I'm not saying you could never do it on your own. Take you years, believe me. I'm coming up on 60, and it's taken me years to get to this point now. You know what I mean? Right. Man, and I'm not exactly an underachiever.
Right.
And I'm not exactly a slug or a bump on the log. I mean, I'm not God's gift to Grant Cardone. I'm probably the 8-time rule, but you know what I mean? But I'm Grant. No slouch. I'm no slouch either. You know what I mean? So I say that, you know, full force, just because I think I have a little bit of authority with my age and the the cycles, you know what I mean, that I've been through.
Sure.
Like you have authority in the cycles of recovery and things you've been through, right?
Sure.
With your responses.
Right.
So, yeah, man, I'm so excited for that. Some closets got put in. These custom closets that were built got put in, and then the handicap accessible furniture's coming in this week. I'm so excited about that. It's so cutting edge. It's so different. So relevant for what it is. It's just like, man, you know, and you think, why are you so excited about a piece of furniture? Because it's just so, it's designed for a specific area, for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. And we created that. We created that for that purpose in mind. Like, it never existed before until we created it. Not you, Neil, but I'm saying like me, Scott. It's like, what? But we did that, you know what I mean? And and so I'm just so thrilled about that. I'm actually thrilled about this handicap thing that's not motorized now, and the person can pull and the closet kind of comes to them, and you can sit in a wheelchair and the closet comes to you, and it's just so unique. And again, you know, we're coaches and counselors. We're not like furniture designers, but for people who work with people with special needs or other needs, you know, we're very sympathetic to that, and to have, you know, just to have that, because so many places don't have that, don't have that accessibility. Just be able to go and take a shower, man, and be, you know, here's the rails, and here, you know, here's this nice tile shower, and here's where you can put your clothes, man, and you can actually wash and dry your clothes from your wheelchair. You know what I mean? Like, and again, I worked 6 years in, 8 years in two separate penitentiaries that had wheelchair guys, you know what I mean, and gals, even six. So I just have another taste for that. Okay, not what you wanted to talk about today on the Concierge Coaches Show.
No, but I agree with you.
Wheelchair accessibility, and watch Bruce go off.
It's little things, though, that allow us to reach more people.
Yeah.
So I certainly understand where you're coming from, because anything that allows us to work with more people and to focus on what we do makes it better.
I swear, if this thing crashed, which it won't, I'd be like, man, we came out of this deal with a piece of furniture that handicapped people can use in summer. I mean, I was like, it was a victory. Straight up victory. I'm done. Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good. Gotta have something.
That's a spiritual victory, if nothing else, baby.
All right.
No, man, I'm kind of half kidding. I just whatever. But so yeah, it's that kind of pruning, and then making sure we have room for the challenges and opportunities that are going to be before us here, probably in June. And I've turned down two people already, believe it or not. Another one from Canada came in, and they were spending $30,000 a month in their experience. And they had to pay a separate $1,500 a month for a sober coach. That's $31,500. Man, it's just, what? That's insane, you know, for a sober living environment. Wow.
And so they were wanting to move in now,
yep,
and be coached.
Yep. So we're not quite ready, but when we are, well, we're ready.
If we had been at the original deadline, we would have been.
Serenity prayer, accept the things, right?
The controllables.
Things life you can't control. Unmanageabilities, right?
Yeah. Every day.
And you're going to come here. The man who designed the cabinet and all this wonderful stuff I'm telling you about flies in, can't get a rental car. Oh, well, you're in Texas? There is no rental car. What do you mean? Avis, Hertz, Enterprise. When they come in, they average 10 seconds before they go out. I'm like, you're kidding me. So we had to hump it, you know, with transportation, stuff like that.
Wow.
So not only that's a wake-up call. Like, one, you got to deal on workers' schedules and availability and desire to do the work and work. Can't even get a rent car. Jeez. Stay in Texas. I mean, that,
I didn't know that was. I didn't know even though that was an issue.
Well, that's cracked up right there. I mean, it's like I thought the guy was BSing me. I thought, oh yeah, you're just. He's like, no, man. Right. Like, so I called myself, and I called again and again, and I'm like, okay, this is a special moment. Anyway, man, it's life, you know. There's good days and bad days, and there's challenges, and there's challenges you see and challenges you don't see. And so those kind of Johari window blind spot challenges, you know, always, that man, it just makes it fun, man. You got, you know, makes it, I like the challenge, think on my feet, you know? So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Sure. So talking about avoiding complacency, that brings us to the next one. I was talking about this just recently. Learning to operate on a higher level. And I think everybody has a different interpretation of what that means. And it certainly can be, there's a number of ways you could view operating on a higher level, whether that means working with a higher level of client, working with more clients, working with a larger facility. You know, you can see it a couple of different ways. And for me, I think this last year operating on a higher level has meant, one, having to be responsible for everything, knowing that if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And then also managing my time and tasks better. Which means I have more to do now and less time to do it. And so the challenge for me was understanding that there's going to be a series of months, or at least a period of time, where I just feel overwhelmed until I adapt. And that's how I do it. I don't know if that's normal, and I don't know if everybody does it that way, but that's how I condition myself. I learn to do more than I'm comfortable with, and I just understand that I'm going to be uncomfortable for a while, and then eventually it becomes natural for me to handle that workload. Now, I would like to know if you think that's crazy or if that's similar to what you do.
I mean, I don't think it's crazy at all. To kind of go back to what we said about, you know, not stagnating or whatever, but I always like to see myself as being a person that's in transition from one thing from one level to the next level. And so when you said operate at a higher level, I know you talked about efficiency or more income or whatever, but I was almost thinking at a spiritual level. You know what I mean? I was cussing like a sailor the other day, man. And it was in front of this. Anyway, I shouldn't have done it. And I usually can get away with it because I tell people I worked in prisons for 30 years and, oh, okay, it's like a disability. Yes. Anyway, I really shouldn't, man. And there's no excuse for that. Anyway, so I was thinking, hey, man, I really have to tone some of this stuff down with the foul language. It's not like I'm not on rants and tears. It's just I just use things as adjectives. And, anyway. But that's certain. But I was convicted that, like, hey, man, you know, there's different ways I need to be able to talk and convey things without doing that. Really having a helping focus, you know, toward other people. Doing that today, I'm admitting two people to two separate programs, one for substance and one for sex addiction. So I'm running, you know, roughshod on that today, and just really and actually doing it where I'm extra patient with the process. But anyway, to me, that's more of a spiritual thing to show that patience and to really be there to meet these people's needs as best as I can for the role that I play. And so that's, to me, operating at a higher level. For me, is looking at that spiritual component. I think I'm most deficient in that for me. I can always make more money. I can always see more clients, but I always can't be more, you know, focused on others and, you know, and Christ-centered and doing that. I mean, I can, of course I can, but that's just not right. It's just not my nature. Mm-hmm. I know that's, I just say that on national video, but it's anyway, but yeah, it's something that I've learned and something that I need to practice in my daily affairs. And certainly, yeah, what I'm doing.
No, I struggle with the same thing. And it's, I think it's also, I conditioned myself with my lifestyle before where it's this, I've always spent time in places where it was very acceptable to use language like that. And even when in the corporate world, for anyone who doesn't know, when you get around a bunch of sales guys, it's
flowing.
It's not the most civilized conversation. Yeah. And you're talking about big business and you're sitting with CEOs. Absolutely. And they're wearing nice suits and all that, but the language isn't for kids.
Right. And I, you know, look, I'm not going to take responsibility for their language, but certainly what I say.
I mean, when you
that way, that's on them, but I'm not going to. Yeah.
Right. But when you're used to being around it, it's easy to let that carry over. And then all of a sudden I have to realize, oh, I'm sitting with a 17-year-old and his folks, you know.
Right.
Put that extra filter on it. And then, you know, my take this back to the family. My great aunt would always tell me, you're much smarter than that. You're much too intelligent to use those kinds of words.
Right.
And this is the same lady who wrote letters to the day she died. I had to write back handwritten letters, which I enjoyed.
Sure.
You know, the art of language and letter writing. But I always remind myself of that. You know, I've been gifted with a good brain and I need to use it. And I'm much too intelligent to talk like that when we have a dictionary full of words that help us articulate our point. Easier said than done.
I had a lady this morning, guys at a maximum security penitentiary, was owed a gambling debt to the, I think it was the Aryan Nation, and the guy's black, he's an African American. And so they did an investigation on the money transfer, locked the guy up and says, you know, here's this black guy. He's now an associate of the Aryan Nation. And so the mom is calling me saying, man, how can that be? He's black. And I said, he was involved in the transfer of money and funds and gambling money and funds. Doesn't mean he's a member. He's an associate. Well, how do I get that off him? It's not going to come off, man. The deal's done. The money's transferred hands from, you know, black person to Aryan Nation guy, and it's a wrap. He's going to get transferred. Well, how do I get that off him? And I actually said, lady, this isn't Burger King. You can't have your, you know, and yeah, man, it's just like, what can I do as his mother to get that? Like, no, he's in a United States penitentiary. So I know that's coaching at a whole other level, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Whew. People don't understand that either. That yeah, you can look at what this organization stands for, but what they actually do when it comes to business, you'd be very surprised. Like money knows no race. Money and drugs. There is no prejudice against money and drugs. Yeah.
It's all equal. It's an equal opportunity destroyer.
Right.
Yeah. And so there you go, man. That's another one. Another guy that was 92-year-old physician was a roommate of a black gorilla family. They're in a holding cell together. The Black Gorilla Family Guy transfers, and my little 92-year-old physician's an associate of the BGF. Why is that? Because he was able to stay in the cell and not get killed. So they made him an affiliate because he's still alive. I'm like, man, I haven't called the warden. Like, can we? Guy's 92.
That's kind of messed up. I'm not sure I like that one.
Can we agree that he's 92 right now and not looking for friends in the BGF? Like, the poor guy is like from India. What did they do? What did they do wrong? Like, man, bro, let me see if I can make a phone call. Anyway.
Jeez.
Some things we just can't, we just can't change. So that's the old serenity prayer moment there. I know we talk about that stuff, so that's not kind of what a lot of people do here on the Concierge Coaches Show. But we do this, that kind of that forensic criminal coaching with these families and attorneys, and give them coaching and consulting about matters inside of prison and custodial matters and all that. So that's another arm of the business over this side of town. But anyhow, I digress again. Yep.
Next. Daily habits that promote growth.
I'm sure you sleep adequately. I'm sure you exercise every day. I'm sure you're one of those people that has the water bottle you carry. This is not my water bottle. Somebody left it. Anyway.
That's an interesting choice of color. I'm not saying I've got pink shirts. I'm just saying. I like pink. I really do.
It was gold rose. anyway. So what? So I'm sure you do some physical things, right, that promote what you were saying, growth?
I have daily physical, spiritual, intellectual. There's another one. Well, and mental. So, yeah, physically I have something I'm either stretching or exercising every day in some capacity, every day. There's some physical movement and some attention given to my physical self, including nutrition. Nutrition kind of covers a couple of different areas, though. What are you doing?
See what I'm pointing at?
I had my phone right in front of the lava lamp.
That is wellness, looking at that thing. Anyway,
yeah, go ahead. No, and you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
My in the morning, I address spiritual and mental, and part of the mental is meditation. Some people meditate differently than others. I mean, everyone really does. Meditation is, for me, it's clearing my mind, and it's getting peace and none of the chaos. That's the most complicated thing for me to do. Is to sit still and to quiet my mind. Because as soon as my eyes open, I have like 35 thoughts that are just waiting, like, oh, we're up. And then it's off to the races. So the spiritual and mental, the physical, and then the intellectual, there's something that I need to be reading on a daily basis. And those things keep me moving forward so that when something comes up, like what we were talking about in the beginning, another way to continuing education or something like that, that I'm already primed. And that's how I feel. I feel like I'm priming myself every day so that when it's time to really take a bigger step, I'm conditioned to do so. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I think what we're designed to do, we're designed divinely to work. And when that work involves the betterment of other people, that's a good thing. And we are in that business, and therefore we need to kind of do self-care. Self-care. I love that word. I know. I just had to say it. Self-care, which is true. I mean, like you said, to be ready to be of service to others, or to do the activities that we're doing that affect others. and their families. And so part of that for me is taking 5 minutes and looking at that lava lamp and just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to track these balls and see what it's like just to float up. And does it come back down? Does it join with something up there? And it's a new one that comes. Like, well, I'm just going to be in the moment. I'm just going to be mindful with the ball and the lava lamp. You know what I mean? And just like you said, it clears your head and it gives you the headspace to think more productively as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. And you know, the things there's something I do, and it's part of the program, the 12-step program, reviewing your behavior.
Yeah.
And I found that's, I'm glad I know that, learned about that habit, regardless of substance abuse and, you know, my past drinking and using, because yeah.
I'm still here. All right.
If I don't review my behavior daily and on a daily or weekly basis, I miss a lot of hints and a lot of warning signs. And so it's really important for me each day in the evening to look back and see where I did a couple things. And in the book, it talks about selfish, you know, causing other people to feel certain things. And do I have any resentments? Do I have anything that needs to be addressed? Do I need to talk to anybody about that stuff?
Right.
And that keeps me, it really keeps me in check. And so stuff like that is really important for me to continue doing, the way I end and begin my day.
I got one of these for our family. Nice. Yeah. I'm going to order a bunch of those.
So we I've not read that one.
Huh? You ever read that one?
Mm-mm.
That's good, man.
Is that official AA literature?
Yeah, it is. I have Bill and Bob would be the reading list I have coming to us, bro. And is Bill and Bob like certified, yeah, bro?
There's some really, really good ones.
Oh yeah. So and there's another one about it's part of the AA literature about how crises, how to manage or how to make an opportunity out of a crisis. And that is such a smart book, because the Chinese symbol for crisis is challenge and opportunity.
Mm.
Smashed together, and that's what crisis means. And that book is about that. So, yeah, definitely, like I said, these simple meditations, I know – a lot of people, Jesus calling. Yeah.
I like the Jesus calling. It's simple. It's, yeah, for anyone. You have to certainly have a spiritual understanding and be comfortable with it.
It's, I have one here. It's always good. Yeah. I was using that a lot. I had a sister pass away in 2013. She would do it. I would do it and stuff like that. And so it was kind of our thing. We talk about what was for the day and some special times there for it. So, but yeah, man, it's good things, you know, to operate at a higher level, but also if we can include those spiritual principles in our daily operations, that's really good.
Because we want to operate effectively and efficiently. But I also want to do things for the right reasons. And if I'm not on track and if I'm not centered spiritually, and then I'm relying on my human self, you know, my earthly, my sinful nature to guide me. And that's a dangerous place to be. And again, I'm speaking for myself, because I know I really like me sometimes. I think I'm really effing smart sometimes, and, you know? When you just say something where the whole room's like, oh, I'm like, I'm good. I am good. I am smart. Where did you get your brain? You know, where did it come from? Check yourself. Don't forget who slept in the bushes less than 10 years ago. You're not that great.
Sleeping in the bushes with a pistol.
Hey, man, you got to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you don't. You don't have to do it.
I don't. Good thing about getting older is that you kind of realize, you look back on your 30s or whatever, go, yeah, I remember I people constantly remind me stuff I was doing in my 30s. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just was so full of myself and, so it's fine. No, enjoy your 30s while you have them. You know what I mean? And just like you said, just check yourself and it is interesting. I mean, your experiences, man, have all kind of come together for a very unique package and part of our ability is to be able to solve problems and see around the corner. We can see around the corner on certain situations that some people can't, because they're not ready yet, or they're in the middle of their recovery. They're in the middle of their process. All they can see is what is in front of them, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's people like us that have whatever, either experience, strength, hope, time, some degree of wisdom, learning, knowledge, whatever it is that we're drawing upon at the time, we can be there for our clients and minimize that. So, yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about, do I?
I was going to say, I look about where you are in your coaching practice and what the moves you've made. I didn't think some of the stuff that's happened to you would happen for about a year from now, but man.
Yeah. You and me both, honestly.
But
I don't know.
It's not you, so it's not like, oh, Neil gets the credit. I mean, Neil does get some credit, right? I mean, but I'm just saying the way things have come together have been.
Yeah, there's something bigger than me.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be foolish not to acknowledge that. But that's what makes it. Honestly, if I were to take credit for it, it wouldn't make it as special as it does me understanding that there's something bigger at play. Because that's, in fact, much more magnificent than me just simply accomplishing this on my own. The fact that there's something bigger happening is much better than that. Because now I know, okay, there's a plan. And I've told my dad, he will quote me on this because this is for real. In 2013 and 14, when I really started to have a clear head, and I told him, I said, Dad, I do not know what I'm going to do, but for some reason, I know it's going to be a big deal. And I started talking to him, and he was just like, huh, you know, and I would tell him that. I'd say, I don't know, but I know it's going to be something big and something special. And I knew that then, but that's not me either. That was God, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Now you see it play out.
And we got to wrap up, but you have that little piece of the Holy Spirit that's in you regardless. And that tells you things. And hopefully we heed that. Man, we're out of time, man.
Good show.
I know, man. Just keep going. Well, how can folks reach you, Neil? How can they find you?
Well, they can find us on concierge_coaches on Instagram, and then the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. You can find me at ElevatedLifestyleAcademy.com and Elevated Lifestyle Academy on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. What about you, Bruce? Where can they find you?
Find me on ConciergeCoach.net. And also, come look at our shows, or at least listen to them on Apple Podcasts. And they're also on the LA Talk Radio website. They're archived. And several of the podcasts, iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts, have all our shows. So please, you know, go back and listen to them. They're a lot of fun. All right, everybody. Well, stay safe. We'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Be blessed, everybody. Stay safe. See you then.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.